in Jesus' name how the Spirit ministers. Lord, taking the things of Christ and making them mine. Lord, we praise you today and thank you, God. You have brought us here. And Lord, to hear your Son, hear him. Hear him, hear him. This is the Word, and this is what pleases God. This is the will of God. Lord, thank you again that you're the one that is this desire for us. And Lord, you put it in us. And Lord, you said to that thing that I've sent it, I'll perform it. There's lots of things here. The sons and all what you're performing. Let us trust you and give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Open your Bibles up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I thank the Lord. There's just been such abounding in my heart these last few days as the Lord's dealt with my heart in this message. And not just knowing grace, but having an attitude. You know, that could be a very kind of a negative thing. Oh, you've got an attitude. Well, I'll tell you what, even having this attitude of grace is where the Lord took me. Honey, I want you to have an attitude of grace. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of Christians that don't like an attitude of grace. But I want to talk about this attitude of grace today that, oh, he just so desires to grow in our lives. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, this gets at it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's very clear the only thing that matters in you is the new creation. Christ in you. Thank you, Lord. The Word of God tells us the new man. As we read here, old things are passed away. They're passed away. And all things have become new. They've been made new for us in this new man. We are governed in this new man, if you will, in a new realm. And that realm, praise God, is the realm of grace. That realm of grace tells us and assures us where there is no law, that's the realm of grace. Where there is no law, there is no sin. I thank God that it also tells us in the Word of God that we are justified in him. Just as if I never sinned. And yes, I know by the grace of God that all things are not expedient. But I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. We have to know. He that has been made free is free indeed. You have to lay hold of this grace that all things are lawful. All things. This liberty of Christ. This new creation. Justified. You need to understand that. If you'll understand and you'll really lay hold of that, you'll also allow grace's power to live in you, that all things aren't expedient, that all things aren't necessarily, if you will, spiritually, I should say, all the things that would be done would not be spiritually edifying. But that all comes from grace. That all comes from understanding and thanking God for this realm of grace. And I think by the grace of God, when you begin to really lay hold of this, you begin to live the attitude of grace. Not just knowing grace, but the attitude of everything in our life about grace. And God help us to apprehend this grace for all of our life, for all your strength. I hear so often people worrying about what you can and you can't do.
what you can and you can't keep. And the reason that it's so sad to me is it's his strength and you don't have any. He does it all and you can't do a thing. And because the only keeping, brothers and sisters, the only keeping you'll find someday is you keep the faith in his faithfulness. You keep the faith in his faithfulness. You keep, by God's grace, this believing in the all-powerful word of God that is for you. That if he be for you, who could be against you? Even you. That includes you. Lots of people don't include themselves in these all-inclusives like what can separate you from the love of God. I was dealing with someone recently again. Well, I can't. Well, wait a second. It says anything created, I believe you were. Things past or present, aren't you present? Well, that's not talking. Well, there's no more to talk about. Because you want to argue with God, and basically what you want to reject is how powerful the blood is. And I'll tell you one thing. Until you really lay hold of grace, you'll never grow. Until you lay hold of, truly, that wonderful new life that lives in you, to really understand what justification is, to really embrace the new creation, to really embrace and thank the Lord. Yes, I get it, Lord, in this realm of grace. All things are lawful because now I am a son of God. That's when you'll begin to grow in grace. That's when you'll be able to take big strides in grace. And I'm talking about this grace, praise God, that'll give you the attitude that it's all him. This grace that'll give you the attitude that he's all in. And the grace that will make it assured to you, he's all in for you. Now, as we walk in this realm, and Galatians 6:16 will tell you about this realm that will bring you peace and mercy, the realm of grace, you'll walk in that truth. You'll walk in that peace. You'll be confident in this grace, and it will be your attitude. You'll begin to quit worrying about what I should or shouldn't do. Your new attitude will be, I'll let grace take care of this. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You'll quit worrying about you trying. And you'll begin to really discover where all the power is. It's in grace. Grace will make it real. You'll see grace doing the things you could never get done and never accomplish. Maybe you haven't awakened to it, but that is your life. Because it's grace that brought you here. When I try, it never happens. When I attempt, it always fails. When I am still and know that he is God, I sail. I soar. I see the Lord performing these things in my life. Oftentimes he does it by bringing great events of humility. Oftentimes he does it through trial, a great test. Things that and plans that I had set out so definitely to have and to attain. I've heard people say, well, God pulled the rug out from you. He never does that. No, he set you on a higher plane. You just haven't seen it yet. Brothers and sisters, as I said, grace will make it real because grace will add and make known to you all the things of Christ which are yours in the new creation. Now, I am thankful that we have that. And I believe by the grace of God, that is our attitude. But I believe by the grace of God, as you'll see today, it's just the beginning. There's more of this attitude. Matter of fact, as we've been rejoicing in Philippians, Paul made a statement. He said, ye are partakers of my grace. And I thank the Lord as the Lord dealt with me. I'll tell you what, Paul's grace has an attitude. And this is the attitude of Paul's grace. Let's turn over to 1 Kings chapter 10. We're going to read about a woman. Her name was Sheba. Matter of fact, she was a queen. You'll understand this now today. It's not a 10 that's a perfect score. Matter of fact, Sheba means 7. You want to be a 7, not a 10. A 7 in the Word of God is perfection. She was the queen of perfection. And you'll see this in chapter 10 of 1 Kings. It says here, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord." Isn't that wonderful? The name of the Lord. That was the fame of Solomon. It was not Solomon. It was the name of the Lord. It's his name. Isn't that what we rejoiced in last week? Was that name? And all the name that we understand is not just the king, but the name the king wants to put on us, bridegroom. It's the name of the king. It's all ministered here. We could, and we will, by the grace of God, in the eternities to come. But we truly could spend an eternity right here, just in these verses, and the depth that's in this in ministering to us. It's the name. It was the name and the name of the Lord. And what happened? She came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Have you done that with the king? Have you communed with him with all that is in your heart? And Solomon told her all her questions. Oh, that's what the king will do. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom in the house that he had built, and the meat of the table, and the sitting of the servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Now see, that's what happens when you begin to see the bridal message. It just takes it, you just go, whoa. When you begin to see what he's prepared for them that love him, he set all these things in place. Remember when we studied Revelation? Where do you see yourself from? Most of God's precious people see themselves standing in front of the throne with a palm. I thank the Lord, he's given me one vision. That I may apprehend that only, if by any means, that I be standing in the midst of the throne with him, looking out over all of that. As it says here, I see the cupbearers, I see the servants, I see that table. Where do you think you see all that from? The midst of the throne. I don't know where he's taking this today, but I like it. Verse 6, and she said to the king, it was a true report. And I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came. And mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I had heard. Isn't that what Paul's gospel's done in your life? Didn't it just exceed everything that you heard when the Holy Spirit came in and gave you enlightened eyes of understanding? And you have them. You have them, son. I know it. See it. Awaken to it. Verse 13. And King Solomon, it says, gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire. Whatsoever she asked. Beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. I feel like I'm in my own country right now. Praise the Lord. And I'm a lady in waiting. I'm waiting on him. I've seen it. And I'll tell you what. After I saw it, and I heard of him, and I heard from him, oh, the things that I desire now, and I asked of him. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. This queen, she was rich. She was an heir of very much. But the king graced her so much beyond what she could ever imagine. And it says here, she was given all that she asked and all that she desired. How much have you asked and desired of him? Why not ask for it all? Don't you see the theme throughout the Word of God all the time? Like even Esther, as that king came to her, honey, what's mine, yours? Everything. That's what a spouse is. A spouse isn't there to serve. Sure, a spouse will serve, but that wasn't the purpose. The purpose was love. The purpose is fellowship. The purpose is that equal to share. Why do you think they shall be like him? Isn't it so clear to the light? Aren't you thankful you know this gospel? Aren't you thankful it's your gospel? It is. And the Holy Ghost, it lights it up. As my brother back there says, he's connected all the dots. Well, today's the day to lay hold of it. Not just to see it all connected, but to say, oh, it's mine. Praise God, it's mine. Oh, my. That theme that's all over this wonderful Word of God. It's all yours. But will you ask and will you desire it? Or are you still going to get distracted? Are you still going to look at you? Are you still going to be like that Shulamite early on in the Song of Solomon, looking at her hands, looking at the myrrh? You better be looking at him, looking at his desire for you. He's at the door. He's always at the door. All he wants is you. He wants you for this, for him. That vessel set aside only for the master's use. How many times in the Word of God, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. You'll never have anything over there that you didn't believe here. You won't. How much clearer could it have been in Hebrews 11? Did they work for any of those great things that God gave? No, it was all by faith. By faith. What set them apart? Faith. What made them different? They believed God. It didn't go through there. Hebrews 11 isn't the works book of fame. Matter of fact, you won't find the works book of fame in here. You know what the works book of fame is? It's set there at that great white throne of judgment. Those that are judged by their works. Huh? I know what my life was judged by. The blood of Jesus. What you going to find there? Oh my. Now, let me tell you something. You can begin to see this attitude of grace. This attitude of, hey, he desires me. And that's when I was down there on that trip, he hit me with that, thinking about, wow, I got an attitude of grace, Lord. And I'm going to tell you how he did that. Turn over to Song of Solomon 4. We'll get there in a second. But it was so sweet. I was thinking about how our spouses of this life, our significant others, you know when they can give you that attitude? I'm talking about the good one. I'm talking about that look. I'm talking about that look. You desire me. That look. You desire me. Kind of makes you weak in the knees thinking about that look, don't it? I told you better be ready for this part. Verse 9. Song of Solomon chapter 4. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes and one chain of thy neck. What that means is just a glance. Just a bat of an eye. Do you see what Paul's grace attitude can bring to him? Brothers and sisters, that's when I'm batting my eye at him in that grace. I know I got him. He'd been wooing me all day. And I'd just been just relishing his grace. And then he quickened me and I said, but I got you. Just one look of this grace, partakers of Paul's grace, looking through my life at him, I got him. He's ravished. Paul in Ephesians, he called it the good pleasure of his will. And I'll tell you what, this is what we can be for him if we'll fully grow up in believing the heights of grace. The heights of grace. And that's the word of his grace. See, do you understand that circumcision or uncircumcision, they don't profit anything? There's nothing you could do. There's nothing I could do. He's done it all. He's given us the very life that ravishes him. He has. All it needs to do is flourish in that grace. Flourish in the abundance of the mercy that was poured forth to us. And Paul calls it the good pleasure of his will. That's the very ecstasy of what the Lord desires. The batting of an eye. And by the grace of God, he's doing that in you. Because he's given you Paul's gospel. When you look at him in the confidence of that grace, of this high calling of God in Christ Jesus, once again, just like this Queen of Sheba, he gave to her. She didn't merit it. She didn't earn it. It wasn't because of anything but of him. He gave it to her. Amen. And all he wants you to do, amen, is to believe him and to bat that attitude of grace. You keep thinking 10, he's already made you a 7. You keep listening to the enemy, you think you're a -4. And shame on you, because you're not looking at the life that lives in you. You're still depending on yourself. Let him open up the bounties of mercy and grace in your life. I don't care what kind of failure you think you are or you know you are. It's a great place to start. And it's a great place to understand, Lord, oh wretched man that I am, but I've got Christ Jesus living in me. And I've got Paul's gospel singing in me. So I understand it doth not appear yet, Bob. But I see how he sees me. I've been to that place. Matter of fact, and I'm staying in that place that Paul saw. I glory in that man.
that man that he ministered to me when I was encouraged to go to him. Oh, and he made me an heir. I couldn't even go to him without being an heir. And I went to him so rich. Oh, an heir of God is rich, honey. You know that. Rich. But then I saw what he's prepared in that kingdom for me. For me to see. For me to rule and reign with him over. And he just doesn't see me someday like that, does he, sister? He sees us now. He sees me now. And I'll tell you what. I'm taking his breath away right now, Bob. I want him to want me. And I know he does. But I want to ravish him with his grace. I want to truly melt the heart of my God, sis, with his mercy. I want it for him. Because I'm going to tell you something. I want him for me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we're just in awe of this wondrous, wondrous Lamb of God. Our bridegroom. Oh, what a wonder. What a joy in rejoicing. Lord, thank you by your Spirit to make it more and more real, and Lord, more and more evident that, Lord, even though it's in a glass darkly right now, oh my, could it be today? Will it be today that it will be face to face with this one that your wondrous, marvelous grace has caused us to adore? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.